Hey, shalom, shalom. It's Pastor Sandy. I hope you guys are out there. We are ready to start class. We are a little late today, but we are ready. We want to apologize for whatever happened last night. We did not take the message down, but somehow it was playing for a little while, and then all of a sudden YouTube decided that to take it down. I don't know why, but maybe I said something that offended them. I don't know, but that's what happens when you're dealing with YouTube sometimes. But from now on, we're going to make sure we have a backup camera, and that something like that happens, we can immediately just put up another copy of the teaching. Okay, we're going to start off today with the Shema prayer, and it won't be your homework for quite some time, but I want you to get used to it. Okay, so I'm going to sing the Shema, and then we're going to say the prayer. I'm going to put on my kippah because my friend Beisrael Pastor Sandy, you said the Shema, you didn't have your kippah on. It's disrespectful. I was like, I didn't know. I guess I did know, but, you know, I don't know. So I'm going to put my kippah on. Don't you laugh if you're out there. It doesn't look good on a bald head guy. Okay? So here we go. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. One more time. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Vehavata et Adonai Elocha, Bekov levavacha, Uvko nefishcha, Uvko mechodeka. Vehayu hadevarim ha'eli asher anoki misvacha hayom al levavacha. Vishanatam levenecha, Vidirbarta bam beshiftecha, bevetecha, uvletecha, viderek, Ushachbecha, ukumeka, Ushatam laot aliadecha, Vecha yule tot bain ayeneka, Uftaftam al mizuzot, betecha, uvishareka. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Nachnu Tefila, and we are going to begin this Bible study. Now, I wanted to say something. Someone said to me, I'm going to take this off because it don't look good on a bald head guy. I wish if I had hair, I could clip it on. But someone said, you know, Pastor Sandy, you're not fluent, you're not rapid with your Hebrew. I say, my purpose, okay, my Torah, isn't that weird, like the word for purpose in Hebrew is Torah? My purpose is not to only teach you Hebrew. My purpose is to teach you how the language interacts with the scriptures, okay? And that's what makes this school very unique. Yes, I'm going to teach you phrases that you can use if you were to go to Israel. You can sit down at a restaurant and you say, Ane rotze likstot kos kafe, atayo kola, you know, whatever you want to order when you're at Hasmana, when you're in Israel, you want to sit at a nice restaurant and order. I want you to be able to do that, okay? To be able to ask for help if the person doesn't speak English and they only speak Hebrew, and you can still understand. I want that. But more important, I want you to understand how the language interacts with the scripture. Because if you don't understand the language, you'll miss a lot in scripture. So it's better to learn the language so you can start catching on to some of these things that are being said in scripture, and you'll know why they're saying it, and you'll know how it's being said. Okay? So here we go. This is a very important lesson today. I know many of you, you got your homework late. Me and Pastor Ben, we were on our own last week. Our wives went out of town, okay? So right after that class, our wives left, okay? That left Pastor Ben with two girls, and that left me with two boys, okay? And if you say, yeah, they can't operate without their wives, you can say that if you want, and you're right. But it's just the way things are. So anyway, the homework went out late. I've received a lot of the homework right now, and I am going to start grading it later today. So some of you will start getting back your grades. For I hope you found many sentences within those words that you can form into sentences. I hope you found many. I am going to grade it on a curve, because some of you will find 15 sentences, and some of you will find two, or some of you will find three. I'm hoping that you find as many as possible. And then we can grade it according to the curve of how many each one of you found. And then we'll see who found the most, and I will announce it next week. Okay, here we go. Today's Bible lesson is on a very, I don't know if it's controversial. It's only controversial if you just don't know Scripture. If you don't know Scripture according to Hebrew, like, for example, for me, I love the Shabbat. I love the when Shabbat comes around, when the evening of Shabbat comes around on Friday evening, and then the lighting of the candles and letting the wife, you know, say the candle lighting prayer, and we open the Shabbat, and then, you know, it's everything's an honor to God until the Shabbat is over. I love that tradition. Now I understand that I've become an inheritant of that, because when God gave the Shabbat, he gave the Shabbat to the nation of Israel. And it was supposed to keep them separate. Okay, there's many other studies that show you that when he came down, he even gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, if you think about it. Because when he came down on the mountain, all the Gentile nations weren't standing there. He didn't say, I'm giving you all, everybody, these Ten Commandments. Well, these things were given to Israel. But through Israel, we're supposed to learn how to have a relationship with God through the nation of Israel. So once you become a Christian, it's beautiful. If you want to keep the Shabbat, keep the Shabbat. It's a beautiful thing. Now, most Christians go to church on Sunday. And one of the craziest things is you'll get a Christian that will come who is a Seventh-day Adventist, and he'll say, you guys are sinning because you're worshiping God on, what do they call it? The pagan Sunday, okay? Now, if Sunday is pagan, and they say the Catholic Church gave us Sunday, when did Sunday get created? Because in the beginning of the Bible, as God is giving the days, I don't recall God saying any of the days were called Sunday, okay? They were all, God said after the first day, Ha'erev, Ha'boker, Yom Echad, okay? And then, I mean, all these days God created, and then when he finished, he said everything was beautiful. Everything was beautiful that he had made, right? So the days that God created in the beginning was the seventh day week. And on that seventh day week, God said, this is Yom Rishon, this is Rosh Hashanah. And so here, this is something I want you guys to write down. So I'm going to go over to the board real fast, and I want you guys to write this down. Because this is the week. It says Yomim, which means days, okay? Yom is day. Yomim, because we added an S to it, that I am, is days, okay? So Yom Rishon is the first day of the week. Rishon is a word that just means first. Okay? So you understand, you say, I'm attending Rishon Messianic Bible College, okay? Rishon just means the first Messianic Bible College, okay? And so what it is, because we feel like it is the first one. This is the first Messianic College that you can go to and actually learn the Bible and the language at the same time. Okay, so Yom Rishon means the first. Yom Sheni just means two or the second, okay? Yom Shlishi means the third. Yom Arba means fourth. Yom Chameshi means the fifth. Yom Shishi is the sixth. And Yom Shabbat or Shabbat is the seventh day, okay? So that would be Sunday is Yom Rishon, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is Yom Shabbat, okay? Now, Shavah is the way you say seven, like Ahad, Stime, Shalosh, Arba, Chamesh, Shesh, Shavah. Shavah is the word seven, okay? So now we have these 7 days. But in the scripture we're going to look at, God says, and then on the eighth day, I want you to do this. I want you to celebrate again. And then you look at the calendar and you say, what eighth day? Where's the eighth day come? Well, if you go to these days, when you get back to the eighth day, guess what day you're going to be on? You're going to be back at Sunday, which is Yom Rishon. So it's called the first day of the week. Now, come over here. Come over here. Follow me. Now, I'm going to read something to you, and then we're going to get away from this because we're going to come back. Okay. Now, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, it says, after the Shabbat, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. So what day did they come? They came on the first day of the week. Okay? How many times do you think that phrase, the first day of the week, is in the Bible? 8 times. Now, it's 8 times because God is trying to say something to you. The 8th day is the first day. And the first day is the 8th day. And the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Okay? This is what God is trying to show you. The first day is going to be just like the last day. So if you understand what God did on the first day, you'll see what he's going to do on the last day. Okay? Because on the first day, you know what he did? He created a whole new world. Okay? And on the eighth day, guess what he's going to do? A new heaven and a new earth, a whole new world in the 8,000th year, right? That's after the 1,000-year millennium. Then we have the eighth day, which there's no more counting. And he creates a whole new world. So he's going to do the same thing on Yom Rishon. And then on the last day, which is the eighth day, he's going to do the same thing. He's going to create a whole new world, okay? I want you to get this concept because God is demanding. Let's read here. In Leviticus, we are going to be on page 39. That's a good page. 13, 13, and 13. Love, love, love. So, I want you to start thinking like a Hebrew.
You said Leviticus chapter
3? We're going to be in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34 through 36.
23,
34. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34 through 36. If you guys have questions during this, I'll try to answer them, but I want you to make sure that you get this concept, okay? Because this is the whole story of God, okay? Here we go. It says, speak to the children of Israel. Now I'll just read it. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days, you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 8th day,
you shall have a holy convocation. So it says another holy practice day, another holy rehearsal day. Remember, mikra, convocation is mikra. You're rehearsing this day. Okay, so the eighth day is a rehearsal for a future eighth day. Okay, and it says, on the eighth day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a holy assembly, a sacred assembly. You understand? Kadosh assembly, okay? And it says, you shall do no customary work on it. So on the eighth day, now, I was going to Bet David, not the Messianic one here, but the Orthodox one in Beverly Hills. If you guys want to go to a Orthodox, you want to feel like you're in Israel on Sabbath, all you got to do is go to Beverly Hills, okay? Now, I'm at this, at the Knesset, at the synagogue, and they say after the Feast of Tabernacles, he says, is the best, you've got to come, Sandy, holy, they call me. You've got to come, holy. It's going to be the best, it's the best celebration. I said, oh, I thought the 7 days of Tabernacle was the 7 days of celebration. He says, oh, you haven't been to a party if you haven't been to Shmini Atzeretz. And I went, what is that? He said, the eighth day. And I said, what? I said, there's only 7 days in a week. What's the eighth day? Ha. Goyi. You know goyi means, right? Rookie. Gentile. So, he said, look, the eighth day is Shmini Atzeret. It is when we really celebrate. This is a festive day. Okay, because God demands that you celebrate on the eighth day. Why is this eighth day? Why would God put in the Leviticus 7 feast days and then say, after all these feast days, I want you at the end to celebrate another feast day, which is going to be on the eighth day, and it's going to be the commemorative, the closing party. It's the closing of the big party, right? That's going to be the great day. So the eighth day seems to be very important to Yahweh, right? The Yad Heh Vav say, this is a very important day. So if it's an important day to Yahweh, it should be an important day to you and me, the children of Yahweh, through Yeshua, right? Okay, so now, we've looked at that. We've seen that the eighth day is going to be just the first day. So when we get to the eighth day, we're back to Yom Rishon. We're back to Sunday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Eighth day, back to what? Sunday. So let's read the scripture again. And we're still on page 39.
Page 39?
Yeah, I mean, we're on page 39 of the book.
Oh.
Of this book right here. We're still on page 39. Y'all got this cool book. Okay, here you guys go. Matthew 28, verse 1, which is one of the 8 verses that say the first day of the week. It says, now after the Sabbath. So, repeat after me. It was after the Sabbath. So that means Yeshua did not resurrect from the grave on Shabbat. He resurrected on Yom Rishon, which is the first day of the week. That's why God is making it very, very clear to you. It was after the Shabbat, as the first day of the week began to dawn. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and he became like a dead man. But the angel said, But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Yeshua, who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord laid. Okay? So, what day did Yeshua resurrect from the grave? Yom Rishon. On Sunday? So why? So that means every time we come to church on Yom Rishon, we're celebrating the resurrection that happened on this day. We come in and we sing songs and we praise Yeshua. Why? Because Yeshua was the one who resurrected. He came up out of the ground on Yom Rishon. And when he came out of the ground, he offered a new life to all of us. Okay? Now, let's read another one. The next scripture under there is John chapter 20, verse 19. It says, then the same day as evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, okay, for a fear of the Jews. Now listen, this is after the Sabbath. Listen what they're doing. This says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples assembled. So they're all getting together for a meeting. For fear of the Jews. And it says, Yeshua came and stood in the midst and said to them, Shalom. Shalom lechem. Okay? And he says, peace be with you. Okay? So, they're meeting on what day? On Sunday. This is before the Catholic Church is even invented. Okay, let's read the next scripture in Acts chapter 20, verse 17. It says, now, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So they met on Sunday, they broke bread, and Paul preached on Sunday, Yom Rishon. We shouldn't even call it Sunday because Pope Gregory named it Sunday because they were sun worshipers, okay? It's still with God, Yom Rishon. It's not pagan because when the Catholic Church is dead and gone, there'll be no Sunday and there'll still be Yom Rishon. You understand? So they got together on Yom Rishon, they broke bread, and it said Paul preached till midnight. God bless him. Wouldn't that be awesome if you could just keep preaching until people fall out of trees and keep preaching till night? These people were attentive, okay? Now, I want us to talk about something because this is very important. Let's go to, in your Bibles, to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I should have tagged it, but I am going to get there fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to be in verse 45. Okay. Okay, you there? Are we in verse 45? Okay. It says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Who's the first Adam?
Adam.
Adam is the first Adam. Let's talk typology, okay? Because understanding scripture is typology. You see here there's a first Adam and a second Adam. Did you know there's a first Abel and a second Abel? Because the first Abel was killed by his brothers, by his brother. The second Abel was Jesus who got killed by his brother. Did you know that there's a first Moses and a second Moses? Because the first Moses came at the end of 400 years of slavery, right, in Egypt, Moses appeared and he delivered the nation of Israel He delivered the Hebrews out of the bondage of slavery with a lamb, okay? With the death of a lamb. The greater Moses came at the end of the 400 years, come from Malachi to Matthew was 400 years, okay? He came at the end of the 400 years, and through the death of him being himself the lamb, freed us from the slavery of sin. So the greater Moses is Yeshua. The greater Abel is Yeshua. The greater Adam is Yeshua. There is a greater Joseph, because that Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver, thrown in a hole, but later came back to be king over all of them. But the second Joseph is greater than the first Joseph. You understand? So we're talking about Adams, but we're talking about the greater Adam. Now, what did we just talk about with this Adam? This Adam is just like all of the other pre-Yeshuas. Their lives are going to mimic the life of the coming second one. Okay? So, what happened to the first Adam? Because, okay, so God wants to mimic it because he knows whatever happens to this first Adam is going to be fulfilled by the second Adam, and they have to typology each other, okay? So God says, here, let's go to Genesis real fast. Let's go to Genesis real fast. And we're going to be in Genesis at the very end of chapter 1. The very end of chapter 1. The Yahweh Ro'eh HaKol Devarim, everything he had made. Okay? Now listen to this. I'm going to start reading at verse 31. It says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So there was evening and there was morning, and that was the sixth day. So it's the sixth day over. Yes. Okay. What did God do from day one to day six? He created trees. Okay. Fruit. He put animals on the earth, trees and fruits. He said on the third day, and they began to blossom. And he says, and God saw that it was good, that the trees and the fruit was good. Okay. Then he gets to chapter 2, because the sixth day is over, and he says thus the heavens and the earth and all of the hosts, the Zavai, you know, were finished. And it says, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Okay? Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, it says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the days that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. Wait a minute. He already created man on the sixth day. What do you mean there's no man to till the ground? Okay? So, we know that he created it on the sixth day. Now on the seventh day, we know that he said he rested and he kadoshed that day. He made it holy. And now we're talking about the creation of another man. This is hard to teach to people who don't understand the language, because nobody wants to believe that God created a man out of the ground on the eighth day. Why? Because there's a second Adam coming that's going to come out of the ground on the eighth day later. Okay? And that day is going to be very special. Now, this day, here it is in, let's see here. It says in verse 7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life.
and man became a living being. Okay? This Adam, Ha-Adam, specified as the Adam, okay? Not Elohim created Adam, okay, which is man or mankind. Oh, I hate this because if I teach you correctly, you have to go back and re-examine and study Hebrew to see that there was a man created on the eighth day. And who was this man? Because why would God create a whole different man on the eighth day and create him coming from out of the ground, okay? And when he comes out of the ground, God says, you know what? It's not good that he be alone. And God puts him to sleep. And while he's asleep, God pierces his side. And while when he pierces his side, he goes in and he takes a rib out. And he forms from inside of the man a woman. And then he says, he took that woman and he brought her to Adam. He brought the woman to him. So are we going to have to wait for Yeshua to come back and get his bride? Or is God going to take us to Jesus? God's going to take us to him. You see the typologies as they're playing out? But God also has to put Yeshua to sleep. Why? Because by putting him to sleep on the cross, his side was pierced, and then out of it came blood and water. Excuse me. He had to bring Adam from the ground and let you know he's coming from the ground, because the second Adam to produce life is going to come up out of the ground. So he's doing a typology by using the second Adam, or what Corinthians says, the last Adam. He's using, because see, the first Adam brought death, but the last Adam brings life. The first Adam was a living being, but the last Adam is a life-giving spirit. He gives spirit to whoever is baptized within him, okay? He changes your whole life by giving you the spirit. So this eighth day becomes very important to God, okay? Because why? He has planned that he is going to come out of the ground on the eighth day in the future, and that he is going to be pierced in his side, and that he is going to get a bride, okay? And it even says in Timothy that Adam was not deceived, okay? Yeah. It was the woman that was deceived. Now, people go, oh, you see there, the Bible's always blaming the woman. He's not saying that to blame the woman. He's trying to let you know something about Yeshua, because Yeshua says all the scriptures about him. It's not about the woman. It's about the fact that Adam was not deceived. It was the woman that was deceived. So then you have to reevaluate, if he wasn't deceived, why did he eat? And that's out of love for his bride. Because like Yeshua doesn't want his bride to experience death on their own, Yeshua came and said, I will experience death with you by dying on the cross, and that so that you won't have to experience this alone. I am going to experience this with you. So he took on our sin, even though he wasn't deceived. So he's playing the role of the second Adam. I'm not deceived, but give me the apple anyway so I can die with you. You understand? So Yeshua is the second Adam. He is the eighth day Adam. He is the eighth day creation, just like the first Adam. Why is it the eighth day is so important? Because God is typology of Adam. He's going to create two Adams on the eighth day. So this is why at the very end of everything, the last of all the feast days, the Passover, the first fruits, the Shavuot's, all of these Shavuot's and Rosh Hashanah and all of these feast days. Then you get to Tabernacle, and then he says, celebrate it for 7 days, But on the eighth day, have another day of celebration. And we're going to call it Shmini Atzeret. And it's going to be a day of celebration. Now, let's talk about the 1,000 years program with God. The first 1,000 years was one day to God. The second 1,000 years, 2 days to God. The third 1,000 years, 3 days to God. The fourth 1,000 years, 4 days to God. Yeshua comes, he dies on the cross. Okay, the fifth day of the year, 5 days. The fifth day, 5,000th year, 5,000. The 6,000th year was the 6,000th, the end of the 6,000th year. Okay, so now what's coming next? Shabbat. It's almost time for the millennial rest. Okay, because now, but listen, oh my goodness, I'll explain it to you at another time because that's a whole nother Bible study. Yeshua is a typology of Jacob, because Jacob, even though he had already worked 6 days for his bride, agreed to work an additional 7 years for another bride, even though he got the one that he didn't really want the first time. He, not that he didn't want her or that he didn't love her, but he didn't work for Leah, he worked for Rachel. And Yeshua's love, his apple of God's eye, is the nation of Israel. And his bride was the nation of Israel. But at the end of 6 days, he's going to get the church. Beautiful woman, just like Leah, okay? And just like Leah produced so many beautiful children for the Messiah, okay? But Rachel is the one. So he agreed to work 7 days. Now, when the 1,000-year millennium comes, Revelation chapter 20, let's go there. Okay, if you read Revelation chapter 20, I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to make up some points. We'll start at the first verse. It says, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil or Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. Okay? Let's go down here to verse 5. I'm just going to read this portion. It says, but the rest of the dead did not come to life till the 1,000 years were over, right? But then it says that the dead came alive and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years in verse 4. So this 1,000-year millennium that Christ is going to reign and rule on the earth out of Jerusalem in the temple, he says it's going to be his Shabbat. It's going to be when he's going to come and he's going to reign for the 7th year for 1,000 years. And that's going to be his rest. But after the Shabbat, then what? We just had a great millennium, right? That's the end of the 7th day. Now what? Chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So now on Yom Rishon, God creates a new earth. What did he do on the first on Sunday in the beginning? He created a new earth. But this earth is going to be different from the other earth. Okay? So now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride. It's not, the city is not the bride. It's prepared, meaning dressed as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So God's going to come and dwell with us when? On the 8th day, in a new heaven and a new earth. And so that's going to be the celebration. That's going to be the Shabbat is beautiful. The 7th day is awesome. But if you really want a party, You've got to be there when the millennium's over and the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven. And then Yeshua will say, when he sees us in our resurrected bodies, right? He will say, just like me, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, right? You came out of me and now you have eternal life just like me, and you know me just as I know you. Now your vision is not blurred. Now it is clear. You see what you have come into, right? So the eighth day is important. So never let anybody come to you and say to you, why are you worshiping on Sunday? Say, hold up there, little chipper. There's no such thing as Sunday, first of all. Because I don't believe in the Vatican or the Pope or Pope Gregory, you know, or his calendar. You got to tell them that, because they'll make it seem like you're worshiping the sun god. And I keep reading Genesis chapter 1, and not one time did God nudge Satan and say, hey, Satan, what do you want to call this day? And Satan go, hey, let's call it Tuesday, you know, let's call it Sunday. Satan had nothing to do with the days, okay? So if a little demon comes along later and decides to give it a name, you know what? My mother named me Sandy. If you want to call me Pookie when I turn 22, it's still not my real name. My mother would say, I don't know who Pookie is. I named him Sandy, right? God named the days and he gave them numbers. He didn't give them names, okay? So we worship on Sunday to celebrate somebody who came out of the ground on Sunday, okay? Now, well, so you're saying that we shouldn't keep the Sabbath? I never said that. The Sabbath is beautiful, is holy. I wish more people would keep the Sabbath because it brings order into your home. It brings a time where your family comes together, they light the candle, they commemorate the Sabbath, and they say, this is a holy day unto God. And then we begin that day till the end of Saturday evening, which is all dedicated to God, okay? But don't ever think that after that Sabbath, that seventh day, that eighth day is not kadosh as well, because someone came out of the ground on Sunday. Somebody gave us eternal life, not on the Sabbath, but on Yom Rishon, okay? Somebody died on the cross and came out of the ground on Yom Rishon so that me and you could have eternal life. So I'm at the synagogue and they say, oh, you people, you worship on Sunday. And then I said, not my church. I said, we don't worship on Sunday. He says, what church, what day you worship on? I said, we worship on Yom Rishon. He goes, oh, that's Sunday. I said, no, it's not. According to who? It's not Sunday, it's Yom Rishon. We celebrate Yom Rishon because we're celebrating the resurrection of the second Adam, who came out of the ground, and we're now his bride. You understand? You can be proud of coming to church on Sunday. You can be proud of keeping the Sabbath, and neither one of them are pagan days. Do you know what Pope Gregory called Saturday? Saturday. You know what Saturn is? Satan. It's the name of Satan. They named Saturday for Satan. Okay? So you can't go to Chabad and say, oh, I'm worshiping on Satan's day. It's not Satan's day. It's not Saturday. It's the Shabbat. Okay? All right. So let me see if I have something else on Yom Rishon. And then we're gonna finish up here.
12 minutes.
12 minutes. We're almost done. It says, on the eighth day you shall be a holy day. This will be a dress rehearsal. Okay. We've already gone over that. Yes, we are done. Okay. So I hope right now that you understand. I'm going to give you the eight scriptures that are in the Bible. There's eight of them that have this phrase, the first day of the week. Huh?
You can take it slow.
Okay. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. We read that one. Mark chapter 16, verse 2. Mark chapter 16, verse 9. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. John chapter 20, verse 1. John chapter 20, verse 19. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And the last, the eighth of the phrase on the first day of the week is in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2.
16?
Yes, 16, verse 2. And that's another time they were all meeting and praying and breaking bread on Yom Rishon, celebrating Yeshua. Okay? And I hope you guys understand Shmini Atzeret is a day of celebration. It is to commemorate and celebrate a newness. Eight means brand new. It is commemorate a newness, which is what Yeshua gave us, a newness on Yom Rishon. He resurrected and gave us new life, okay? He is the 888, right? He's the 888 for a reason. He's the 888 for a reason because he is the full Trinity. He is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because Colossians says the fullness of God dwelt inside of Yeshua. Okay? So the 888 is doing a job collectively, creating for us a new day where we can be like Christ with a new heaven and a new earth. Praise God.
Pastor Sandy.
Okay.
Kathy Miller wants to know, isn't Shmini Atzeret after Sukkot?
It's after the Feast of Tabernacle. Now, this is what the Jews do, okay? They only celebrate on Yom Rishon one time a year, okay? It's only done one time a year at the end of the last feast day, okay? And it's done that way because God is showing you all these feast days are going to be become real. Passover is going to become real. Shavuot is going to become real, okay? The Feast of Tabernacles is going to come real. Yom Kippur is going to be, all of these days are going to be, but after Tabernacles, Shmini Atzeret one day is going to become real. So the Jews are given this pattern so that they can treat these days as holy dress rehearsals because they're doing a dress rehearsal showing the whole world that at the end, the great day is going to be the eighth day. Okay? So, they celebrate Shabbat every day of the year. So, you got 52 Shabbats, and then all of a sudden, at the end of Tabernacles, they celebrate on Shabbat. I mean, they celebrate for 7 days, and then on Yom Rishon, they celebrate the eighth day, and they really have a great party. It's just to show you the example that on the eighth day is going to be very important one day. You know, if the church did it, that would be pretty cool. If we all did Sabbath, the Shabbat, all through the year, and then on Yom Rishon, we celebrate one time after Tabernacles, we can do that, and some Messianic churches do that. But you always have to remember, God created Yom Rishon, and God resurrected on Yom Rishon. So you can't come to church on Yom Rishon and say it's not a holy day, because God made it holy from the very beginning, okay? And that is it, unless there's more questions. Okay. So do your homework. I got some of it. I'm going to get it all into you. I'm going to do some tonight, and I'm going to do some tomorrow. Hopefully, I can finish it by tomorrow. Yivareka ga'adonai v'yishmareka v'ayir Adonai panavileka v'echuneka v'yasim lekai shalom. May the Lord keep you and bless you. Shavua Chaba. Leitriot Shavua Chaba. See you next week.